Good afternoon. I'm going to excuse me. I'm going to take off my jacket. I'm trying something new today. I'm actually wearing a microphone. And the only problem with a lapel microphone is it's not for amplification to you. We have this. But it's so that I can hear my own voice a little clearer. And sometimes I speak too softly and I don't realize it. And so I'm trying this. It's going to be a little bit of a distraction. But with a lapel mic, as soon as you move and it touches your jacket, it makes a really loud noise in here. So I may actually switch this off halfway through. Just something we're trying this afternoon so that we can all benefit. So I'm juggling a few balls today, if you bear with me. Let's turn to the book of Matthew. Yes, we are finished with the Beatitudes, but we're not quite finished with the Beatitudes. So Matthew chapter 5, and I looked at the verses following, immediately following after the Beatitudes, and realized that this is a very important part of the Beatitudes. It's not a mistake or coincidence that these words of Christ follow, but as we'll see today, this is a way in which we can apply these to our own hearts. So that is what we hope to do. Thank you, Pastor Kirk, for praying, for the preaching, and for the help of the Holy Spirit to all of us as we look at God's Word in the afternoon. So try and be brief this afternoon and simple. Let's read our scripture then. That's Matthew 5, those four verses, 13 to 16. Matthew 5, verses 13 to 15, 16. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. The second metaphor, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to the whole house. In the same way, salt and light, let your light so shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Last Lord's Day, we studied the final and the eighth Beatitude. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And the verse that expands on the types of persecution. And today we'll conclude this series by a study of these four verses immediately following the Beatitudes and are clearly linked to them. Having seen what a Christian is in the Beatitudes, starting, as we saw, with the grace of God in the life of believer, bringing him salvation through a knowledge of God, a knowledge of sin, a mourning for sin, and so on and so on. The next words, Christ teach us how a Christian should manifest this, what we must be in the world. In other words, Christ didn't just tell us what we are by the grace of the Spirit, but he is telling us now what we ought to be in the world immediately following this. And in these verses, Christ compares the Christian's influence in the world. So these verses also talk a little bit about our relationship to the world, our influence in the world as salt and as light. And so that's then the link to the Beatitudes, the outworking of these graces by the Spirit in our hearts in the Christian's life in the world. It also links, of course, to the last Beatitude of persecution. How should we react to persecution? You remember the first persecution, the believers huddled together. They were clearly afraid. Peter was arrested, and they got such a fright when he came to the door because an angel just walked him out. There was fear. Now, how should we react to persecution? You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. So there's a hint as to what we want to study today. We have three simple points, no sub-points, just three simple points. So if you're making notes, you're going to have to be a little sharper there. Number one, Christ's statement about every believer. Christ's statement about every believer. And I say statement because though he uses two pictures, he's making one point. The first part of verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. The first part of verse 14, you are the light of the world. You, disciples who came to Christ and he was teaching them, every believer is the salt of the earth and the light of the world. So two metaphors used by Christ of the believer as a statement of fact. It's not a suggestion to us. It's not merely an aspiration, perhaps, of what we would one day like to be as believers. I'd really like to be a light to the world. I'd really like to be salt and influence the world. Shown in the Beatitudes that these are the blessednesses that are ours as a result of the new birth. Whatever we were before in our sin natures is no more. 2 Corinthians 5:17 explains it well. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. It's gone. Behold, the new has come. This is not the next step in the Christian life. This is not phase two if you're a believer and you'll have to undergo some training and progress to the next level. No, says Jesus, this is what you are. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And the command comes in point number two, but it's obvious. Do what salt does, is what Christ is saying. In other words, this then is how you should live in the world. The Beatitudes are what you are by the grace of Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit. This is what you are to be. You are to be salt. You are to be light in the world. What does this mean? What does it mean? It really is nothing complicated. We just need to explore these properties and their function that Jesus is talking about and apply it spiritually in the context of the Beatitudes. So let's not lose sight of the Beatitudes. What is salt? Well, if you went to school, you'll know that it's NaCl. It's sodium chloride, a white crystalline substance that gives seawater its characteristic taste and is used for seasoning or preserving food. Actually, both. Light. What is light? Light, or invisible light, is electromagnetic radiation. Within the portion of the electromagnetic spectrum that can be perceived by the human eye. I told you it was simple, didn't I? Christ chooses two simple properties, essential to man, to describe what we are to be, what those who are true believers, those who possess the blessednesses described in the Beatitudes. And the first one is salt. What is salt supposed to be? It's really simple. Salty. That's all. That is the only function of salt. It needs to be salty. And if salt is not salty, it's useless. And Christ emphasizes this. That's why I'm into verse 13. If it's lust, it's saltiness. Christ says, it is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out, trampled under people's feet. It's not even useful for compost. In fact, it's going to do a lot of damage to your soil. It's no longer useful. It has no useful quality if it's lost its saltiness. It's garbage to be trampled underfoot by men. Why do we need salt? What do we use it for? Well, in the 21st century, there's a lot of uses for salt. And old wives' tales tell you it'll cure all sorts of flus. Just gargle with salt and all your troubles will gargle away. We even use it on our driveways to melt ice. And that's a wonderful thing. And the primary use, of course, from the earliest discovery of salt has remained unchanged. And this was the purpose it served in the time of Christ and remains its most useful properties today to preserve and to flavor food. And the early pioneers of this country and the Boers who crossed South Africa in the early years, this is what they did. They dried beef and they preserved it. How? With salt. And so they hung the beef and they could go 3 months and just eat the beef that had been salted. And I make that. I love to make, it's called biltong in South Africa, jerky in America. Jerky's a very inferior product compared to biltong. And if you have a lot of money, I can prove it. But I have a few ingredients in my biltong, some brown sugar, and some vinegar, and a little bit of coriander because it gives it a wonderful taste. And I can skip any of those. It doesn't matter. I can't skip salt. Can't skip the salt. Number one, I wouldn't eat it because it has no taste. It's like cooking rice and not adding salt. Even your children say, "Mom, what's wrong with this food? It has no salt. It has no taste." But more importantly, for my biltong, I need to preserve that meat. It's going to hang for a week in my study in a little box with a fan. And if there were no salt, it would stink. It would go rotten. I have to have salt. That, says Christ, is what a believer is in the world. He is salt. And his influence in the world is to be like salt. To savor or flavor and to preserve. The second metaphor that Christ uses is light. You are the light of the world. In the same way that the sun provides physical light to the world during the day, or we use a lamp at night, or certainly in the early church, they used lamps at night. So the believer is to be spiritually in a dark world. He is to be the light of the world. And like salt, that kind of light has one function. It has one important property: to shine. To shine, to provide light in darkness. And the lamp was for centuries the primary source of light to bring to a dark house or a dark place or room light. And the same way that salt that is not salty is good for nothing, the same way a lamp that does not shine is no good for anything. And Christ said, "Who takes a lamp and puts it under a bushel? Put a basket over it. You make light and then you kill the light. But that doesn't help. Then it is useful. It cannot do what it was designed to do, to shine, to bring light." Christ explains that. He says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand so that it gives light to the whole house." We had a couple from the church to our home for dinner some time back, and you know who you are. And then we were having dinner together, and it was night, and we had an outage. And we were busy eating, and there was a power outage. And it was literally pitch black dark. And we were lost. We were lost. I fumbled around thinking, where's the closest torch? I don't even remember. And where are the matches? And eventually, as we sat in silence, I managed to light a candle. And there was a little bit of light and we continued our dinner. It's an essential thing for a lamp is to provide light. And so, just like salt that is not salt is ludicrous, even the idea, well, let's light a lamp and let's hide it. Let's put it under a basket. Let's block its light and hide it. Doesn't make sense. Christ says it's like putting a city on top of a hill, building a city on a hill, then say, let's hide the city. It doesn't make any sense. It's the property of light to shine. Believer, you are the light of the world. So even though Christ commands this one, it is obvious. Shine! You are salt. Influence. Be salty. Preserve. Flavor. Your light. Shine in the darkness in the world. Doesn't this remind us of Christ's words that is quoted by Luke in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses." In Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, to the end of the earth. The same implication is there. If you cease to be my witnesses, Christ has returned to heaven, the Holy Spirit has come upon his church and his disciples to be his witnesses. So if you cease to be my witnesses in your lives and in the proclamation of the gospel, we in the church are useless. We like salt without saltiness. We like light, like a lamp that we've put under a basket. Christ's statement to every believer, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Point number two. And I hinted at this already. Christ's command to every believer. Christ's command to every believer. Verse 16a. In the same way, let your light so shine before others. This is a clear command. And while Christ appears only to issue a command with respect to one of the properties used to illustrate the influence or the witness of the believer in the world, the illustration of the believer as salt is clearly implied. And you may even say, as some people do, that being salt, a preserving and a righteous flavoring of the world, is the way in which we shine as lights in the world. Well, the fact is, Christ uses two metaphors to illustrate the same thing. And that is that believers must exhibit these Christian characteristics in the world. What we are as Christians, which we've looked at in the Beatitude, must be displayed in our daily lives in the world in which we live. And you shall be my witnesses. These characteristics, when displayed in our thinking and in our behavior, in our speech, will leave no question in the world's mind that we belong to Christ. Take these characteristics and just be them because you possess them. Just live them because you are salt and you are light. That is what we need to do, and that is what Christ means. We will leave no question to any that we encounter that we belong to Christ. We believe in him. We love him. We obey him before we obey men, and we obey even the government unless they tell us to do what Christ has commanded not to do. We love Christ first. We follow him. We obey him. We seek to mirror Christ's behavior, who is the supreme light who has come into the world, as the Gospel of John chapter 1 tells us. And it only takes a little bit of salt to flavor the whole batch. It only takes a little bit of light to light up a room. And darkness is strong and intense. But guess what? The smallest flame is stronger than darkness. And the smallest bit of light illuminates darkness. And the first time I tempted my hand at Biltong, I was living in New Jersey, and I wanted to show these Americans how bad jerky really was. So I decided to make biltong for the first time. And boy, was I humbled. The Americans there, Lafayette Baptist Church, had a field day with me, because I looked at all the ingredients and there was a lot of this and a lot of that, but only less than 1 tablespoon of salt for 2 kilograms of beef. Less than, and I'm like, this boer doesn't know what he's doing. And I put a lot of salt on because I wanted the flavor to be there. And I put a lot of salt on because I wanted to preserve the meat. But it was inedible. The dogs ran away. There's no mistaking when light has been brought into a dark place. No matter how small, light displaces darkness. No matter how intense the darkness may be, and just a little bit of salt brings flavor to the whole batch. And ladies, you've done this again and again, and like, everybody's suddenly quiet as they start eating. There's something wrong with this food, but you don't know what. It's bland. And then someone reaches for the salt and puts a little bit of salt in it. Wow! It brings out the flavor. Just a little salt. Let's ask the question now that we understand what we ought to be. How are we to obey this command? In what way do we influence the world with the flavor of the gospel? In what way do we shine? And I've hinted at this, and hopefully you know the answer to this. We need to go back to the Beatitudes. We need to go back to the Beatitudes. It is these 8 blessednesses that the Lord pronounces to be the property of spiritual salt and light. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. While we just studied them for 10 or 11 weeks, we just studied the Beatitudes. What we are by the grace of God in our lives, by the work of the Holy Spirit, in our new natures, this is what the Spirit of Christ has made us to be. This is the salt and the light that Jesus was talking about. Maybe you have your pen ready to say, what is the salt? He's got to tell us what the salt is now. What is the light? It is the Beatitudes that we just described and studied. And let me go through them very quickly, just as a reminder to us how these can be the salt and the light, the 8 Beatitudes. And I'll start each one with the believer is characterized by. The believer is characterized by, number one, one who is poor in spirit. That is what he looks like. That's what we've got to show to the world. That as a desperately sinner before a holy God, this means that to his family, this means that in his church and with his fellow members and elders, and in the workplace and your interaction in the world, there is no room for self-righteousness, only poverty of spirit. Because God is our holy God and we are miserable sinners. And you are just a sinner saved by grace. There is no good in and of yourself. You're no better than the worst offender and the rapist and the murderer. That is sin. And that is how you were born, each one of us. You're a sinner saved by grace. Yes, you're a trophy of God's grace. And so your salt and your light is your poverty of spirit. Number two, he's one who mourns his own sin and the sin that is in the world. And he has found in Christ repentance from his sin, forgiveness in the blood of Christ. And so you do not rebel and cry out against the sins everywhere, but you rejoice in the forgiveness in the blood of Christ. Yes, you hate sin. You hate your own sin and the sin that is in the world. In your life and your testimony, you extol the grace and the glory found in Christ, and your only boast and your only hope is in the cross of Christ, and you plead with sinners to be reconciled to God. This is your salt and your light. Number three, one who is meek in spirit, knowing that it is by grace alone, in Christ alone, through faith alone, that you are saved. There is no personal merit or boasting, but only humility. Only humility. Like our Savior, you don't put yourself first, but in humility consider yourselves, others better than yourself. You speak only of your own weaknesses. You build up in the home and in the workplace and in the church and to your spouse. You don't break down, you build up. Meekness is your salt and your light. That's what you must show the world. Not your accomplishments, not your greatness, not your holiness, for you have no holiness. The only holiness we have is what we have in Christ. And we show the world our meekness. The one who hungers, number four, and thirsts after righteousness, the righteousness found in Christ alone. And the world must know and see that you love righteousness. You love what is good and true and honorable. And you love the bread of life, even the word of God. It sustains you and it satisfies your soul and it gives you eternal life. And so you flavor, your flavor to the world is the one that makes clear to all that your love and your duty to Christ your Savior surpasses everything. His law is supreme. The commands of Christ and His words are your only guide in life and in faith and in practice. This is your salt and your light. And be sure of this so far, the world hates that. The world hates all of those things. But Christ says you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Number five, His one is merciful and compassionate to all, for He has received mercy. Oh, what a vile sinner. I wish they'd lock him up forever and throw away the key. And yes, justice must be done, but His patience and His long-suffering extends to all men, but it starts in your own heart and in your own home and in the Church of Jesus Christ. It is a lamp in the world that you are unable to hide because of the Savior's mercy to you. Mercy, love, and compassion is your salt and your light. For that's what you receive from the Lord Jesus Christ. That is your light. That is your influence. That is your salt in the world. Number six, the one who is pure in heart. For He has been washed in the blood of the Lamb. He's not sinless, but His sins have been forgiven. He stands guiltless before God in the righteousness of Christ. And though remaining sin will continue to plague Him throughout His life, yet He strives to be like Christ. That's your light. That's your salt in the world. What do you want to be above all? I want to be a better Christian. I want to love Christ dearly. I want to breathe the very fragrance of Christ. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Number seven, one who, because Christ gave him peace with God, through His death on the cross, He is now a peacemaker. He is a peacemaker. You are known in the world to promote, firstly, peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ by pointing them to the cross of Christ. And you will, as far as possible, as far as it depends on you, as Paul says, live at peace with all men. Understanding this, that peace with God may bring a sword and may divide and even divide father and mother and husband and wife and brother and sister. Peace with God and the peace of God is the light that we bring into the world. And I must be clear to the world that He is a peacemaker, but most important, that He has peace with God. My sins have been forgiven. I belong to Him. I love Christ. Now many of you, if I asked you, have told your fellow laborers, your workers, your neighbor, that you are a Christian. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And eighthly, one whom the world will hate and persecute, as it did to Christ, because the world hates Christ. And all who love Him and follow Him. But this believer welcomes reviling and persecution and slander. And he rejoices in all his afflictions for righteousness' sake and for Christ's sake. He will bear these things. This is salt and light. This is what the believer is in Christ. What you have become in your new nature. Display this in the world. The true believer is a preserver. And he's a saver of life in the world that only has the stink of death. The savor of death. That meat hanging that has not been salted. It's putrid. Preserve, flavor. Breathe the very fragrance of Christ to the world. If you are salt and light, the world will see and they will know that you are different. That you possess the blessedness and the grace of the Spirit of God, though they may hate you for it, and though they may persecute you for it. Christian's responsibility as he lives in the world, and this is important, not to live as close to the world as possible, in the shadows, undetected, unnoticed, not to have as many non-Christian friends as possible, but believers and young people, the non-Christian must never be your best friend. You love the people of Christ. You are light in the world. But it is to shine. It's to show forth His praises who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. It's an uncompromising position of light. And sometimes we're ashamed. And sometimes the guys are telling dirty jokes at school perhaps. And they just want to cover that bushel and back off slowly. And they profane the name of Christ. And we remain silent. You are the light of the world. An uncompromising light. You are the salt of the earth that brings flavor and brings preservation, so that we see that the believer restrains the evil that is in the world. And I remember often walking into a group of guys in the workplace, and I worked with a lot of mechanics and guys who worked on big trucks back in South Africa, and they'd be blaspheming and telling a dirty joke, and I'd walk up and everything go dead silent. But if you're comfortable into walking like that, and they're comfortable to speak, keep speaking, you've lost your saltiness. You had no influence. You are the light of the world. Ephesians 5, 8 to 11 express the same thing. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and true and right. Try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead try and expose them. So we go around telling people about their great sin. No, just be light. Sometimes it's better to show people what righteousness looks like than telling them that their deeds are evil, because light exposes darkness. You were once walking in darkness. You partook in the world. You loved its sin. You were unable to discern what is good and right and true. Believer, now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. These things are Christ's command. nearly done. Number three, and finally, observe in the third and final place, and this is short, Christ's purpose in the statement and in the command. Christ's purpose in the statement and in the command. And Christ says plainly in verse 16, in the same way, these examples that he gave us, salt and light, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Firstly, the state purpose of Christ's statement is to remind us, to remind believers that we are salt and light, that we are the light of the world, we are salt of the earth. Be salt. Influence the world for Christ. Bring the flavor of the gospel to a dying world. Preserve truth and righteousness in your heart by holding fast the word of truth. And in your life and in your witness in the world. For you shall be my witnesses. The second purpose, Christ's statement, command, is that our light would shine before others, that they may see our good works, the good works that are in the Beatitudes explained to us, and give glory to your Father in heaven. Basically, Christians are luminaries. We are things that shine. Philippians 2:15 says that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish. And innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine like stars and shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of light. This, brothers and sisters, young people, school, this is how we bring glory to God, by displaying these attributes, these characteristics, these things that we are in Christ. We display them in our lives as bright lights. And I want to close with just two questions and a warning from Christ. Two questions and a warning from Christ. You are the salt of the earth, firstly, or have you lost your saltiness? You need to ask yourself today, am I the salt of the earth? Or is there no saltiness left? Is there no longer influence or flavor? The world can no longer tell you apart. You have no witness. The world cannot tell whether you're a believer or not. You are useless. You're useless. No witness. No preserving qualities. No deterrent to others to refrain from evil or sin. Unbelievers profane the name of Christ in your presence. Vile talk will not cease when you walk into a room. You bring no savor of Christ and of righteousness, which exposes sin. But the good news is, that's ridiculous. That's not what salt is. Salt is flavorful. And the true believer, you are the salt of the earth. Secondly, are you the light of the world? Or have you hidden that light? Has your light become dim because the oil of prayer, to use the ten virgins example, the oil of prayer has run out in your lamp? You have failed to trim that wick of your lamp so that the light cannot shine brightly. Your own sin is not confessed and repented daily. You're slow to put off the sin that clings so tightly. That light is useless when hidden. That light will not shine if you do not watch your life and your doctrine closely. If you do not confess your sin and receive the forgiveness that is promised in the word of Christ. I will hold on to my sin a little longer. In the meantime, like salt without saltiness, the hidden light is useless and you have no witness. But this picture, as Christ painted, is ridiculous. A city set on a hill doesn't hide itself. My friends, we have to tell you that to follow Christ half-heartedly is not to follow him at all. and to call yourself a Christian in the world, but you have no saltiness and no light to shine, is to do damage to the gospel of Christ and to profane the name that you profess. That is called nominal Christianity. That is profession without faith, and faith without works is useless. It's dead. My friends, there's a dreadful reminder in the scriptures of many on that day who will come to Christ. It's in the scriptures. And say, we professed your name, we prophesied in your name, we performed good works, charity, even miracles in your name, they will say to Christ. And they'll only hear one response. I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, because the true Christian is the salt of the earth. The true Christian is the light of the world. And brothers and sisters, we are not perfect, and we have remaining sin, but that is what we are. And perhaps you've been shining ever so dimly because of your own sin, because of your lack of attendance to God's word and his house, to prayers, because of your example in your family, and because of all these things. But if it's become clear to you that you have no light and you have no salt because you don't have Christ, then don't wait for that day and say, I attended Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Lafayette for 20 years just to hear those words. I never knew you. I never knew you. Profession without witness, profession without salt and light, to use the words of Christ, is useless. Don't wait for that day. But come to Christ today. He'll receive you and call on his name and look at these blessednesses and say to God, I want these blessednesses. I want to see my sin. I want to see your holiness. I want repentance. I want purity of heart. I want to hunger and thirst after righteousness. He will not turn you away. Believers, display what you are. If necessary, visit the Beatitudes every morning before you go to work, before you leave your day, and read through them. Remind yourself and say, here is my salt and my light. Lord, help my witness. Let me display in a dark world the blessedness of the gospel in my heart, in my speech, in my conduct, in my family, in my church, in the workplace. In this dark world, that glory may be given to your name. He was ashamed of me before men. I'll be ashamed of him on that day. Unbeliever, there's just one message. Come to Christ. Believe on him. Repent of your sin. Turn to Christ for mercy and grace, and he will have you. Pastor Sam set that forth so beautifully this morning. He will have mercy. He will abundantly pardon. He will never cast you out. Your good works will not suffice. Your greatest religious observance and charity will do you no good. Profession without faith, profession without salt and light, is useless. You will have nothing meaningful to plead on that day, simply to say, but I went to church. But today, you can plead the blood of Christ. If you flee to him for mercy, he will receive you. And you too can be salt and light in the world. Young people and children, you too, this is not grown-up stuff. And you may have professed faith as a child. There's some children here being baptized already. You are salt and light. I'm just a child. How can I be salt? You can obey your parents. You can love Christ. You will not partake in dirty jokes. You will not be cruel and unkind in the school. Because you love Christ, you will be forgiven. You will be like Christ himself. That is what you are. You are salt and light. And in the home, you may say, well, I'm a good kid. I do most of what my father says and my mother most of the time. But you want to be salt and light when you see your mother's tired or she's sick? Don't wait. Say, Mom, how about I do the dishes tonight? 13 years old, seriously? Yes. Be salt and light in the home and in school and with your friends. Let people know that you love Christ. I will not do that. I will not say that. How must I be salt and light? Go around and tell him, you're a liar, you're a thief, you've done this wrong. No. The best way to show children, your friends, what is righteousness is to be righteous yourself. Love Christ. Follow Him. Obey Him. That is to be salt and light in the world. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who's in heaven. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blessed word. We thank you for who we are in Christ. How we thank you that this has nothing to do with any merit of our own, but we came as beggars. We came holding up our hands and pleading for mercy. And you showed us mercy, and you gave us grace and forgiveness and repentance. And you filled our hearts with purity, the purity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you gave us peace with God, and we know the peace of God in our hearts. Oh Lord, may these things be our salt and our light in the world, that people, just by our actions and our words and our lives and our flavor, may know that we love Christ. Oh Lord, grant that we may point people to the Lord Jesus Christ, starting in our own families and in the workplace and in our neighborhoods. Oh Lord, help us to honor you. Help us to be salt of the earth and the light of the world, for we pray in Christ's name. Amen.